Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Thorny's Vinyl. I feel like all the episodes start off the same, me saying hello, everybody, but it is what it is. If you're new to this podcast, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. This is a weekly podcast, so every odd-numbered podcast, such as this one, because this is episode 11, the beginning of the second quarter of season 6, every odd-numbered podcast is an album review. Such as this one. 2 weeks ago, the album review was Ted Nugent's Free For All. And every even-numbered podcast is what I call an EP, extra podcast. So half of those EPs are games guest starring my wife. So last week we did a game of album Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That's always a fun one to do. She did okay. It's hard because I try to make it somewhat easy. But it's hard. And then the other half of those are just little tidbits of information. So 3 weeks ago, the podcast I did was a concert review. I went and saw the Celebrating Meatloaf. It's like a semi-tribute, semi-like just continuation of Meatloaf. But if you're interested in that, go ahead and that was a few weeks ago. But today's podcast, we'll get into it's an album review. Don Henley's Building the Perfect Beast. So the way that I do my album review podcast is I talk a little bit about the artist. So I'll talk about Don Henley. I'll talk a little bit about the album. So I'll talk about Building the Perfect Beast. I'll go through the personnel on the album. And then I will talk to, I'll talk about my the songs on the album. And then I'll talk about, I'll take a little short little break, do my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album score. So let's get into it. So Don Henley's Building the Perfect Beast. So Don Henley was born July 22nd, 1947 in Gilmer, Texas. He has been an active performer since 1970. He is a founding member of the Eagles. He was inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with them in 1998. As a solo artist, he has sold over 10 million records worldwide. He has won 2 Grammy Awards with 17 nominations as a solo artist, as well as 5 MTV Video Music Awards. He has released 5 studio albums and 27 singles. So in the U.S., he's had 5 top 40. All of his albums were top 40 in the U.S., 3 top 10 albums. In the U.K. albums chart, he had 4 top 40 and 1 top 10. And then in the U.S. Hot 100 for his singles, he has 8 top 40 singles and 4 top 10, and in the UK singles chart, 2 top 40 singles. So, Building the Perfect Beast. It is the second studio album that was released by Henley. After the Eagles broke up in 1980, Henley began his solo career. It started with a duet with his then-girlfriend Stevie Nicks on her 1981 debut album. That song was Leather and Lace, and that song also reached the top 10 in the U.S. Henley then released his first studio album in 1982. It would certify gold with over 1 million copies sold in the U.S. Henley then began work on his second album, which had numerous collaborators. He worked with members of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, a member of Fleetwood Mac that I'll talk about, a member of the Go-Go's, and other session musicians. Building the Perfect Beast was released on November 19th, 1984, and it peaked at number 13 in the U.S. and number 14 in the U.K. Reviews of the album, I would say, were positive. Robert Christgau of The Village Voice graded it a B, writing, quote, "This one makes you listen. Its abrupt shapes and electro-symphonic textures never whisper Eagles remake. So thank co-composer, multi-instrumentalist, and occasional arranger Danny Korchmar," end quote. And then Vic Iyengar of AllMusic rated it 4.5 out of 5 stars, writing retrospectively, quote, "After experimenting with synthesizers and a pop sound on his solo debut, Don Henley hits the mark on his sophomore release. This album established Henley as an artist in his own right after many successful years with the Eagles. Henley's earnest delivery and universal messages give many of the tracks a timeless feel, which is no small feat. This is Henley's most consistent album, and it is the place to start for those wanting to sample his solo work," end quote. And the album certified 3 times platinum in the U.S. with 3 million copies sold. Moving on now to the personnel. The personnel on this album, there is a lot of personnel on this album and it's just a lot. So I will just bear with me. This section is going to be very, very long. So Don Henley, does lead vocals, harmony vocals on tracks 2, 5, 7, and 10, drums on tracks 2, 3, 4, 7, and 8, keyboards on track 5, percussion on tracks 5, 6, and 9, synthesizers on track 6, chant voices on track 6, and synthesizer arrangements on track 8. Danny Korchmar does synthesizers on tracks 1, 3, and 6, guitars on tracks 1 to 7, and then 9 to 11, or 9 to 10, horns on track 3, organ on track 4, omnichord on track 4, percussion on track 6, 9, and 10, chant voices on track 6, guitar synthesizer solo on track 8, horn solo on track 8, synthesizer arrangements on track 8, keyboards on track 9, bass guitar on track 9, and arrangements on track 10. Mike Campbell is synthesizers, guitars, and percussion on track 1. Steve Porcaro does synthesizers on tracks 1 and 4 and programming on track 7. Benmont Tench does keyboards on tracks 2 and 5, synthesizers on track 8, and synthesizer arrangements on track 8. David Paik plays the acoustic piano on track 4, synthesizers on tracks on track 7, synthesizer arrangements on track 7, and acoustic piano solo on track 8. Michael Boddicker does programming on track 6, sequencing on track 6, synthesizer on track 8, the Emu emulator on track 8, and the synthesizer arrangements on track 8. This is so many people. I want to make sure that I give everyone credit because they all deserve credit. Albie Gallatin does the synclavier on track 6. Randy Newman has synthesizer arrangements on track 8. Bill Cuomo does synthesizers, programming, and percussion on track 10. Lindsey Buckingham, the member of Fleetwood Mac, plays guitars and harmony vocals on track 2. Charlie Sexton plays guitars on track 3. Larry Klein plays the bass guitar on track 1. Pino Palladino does bass on tracks 2, 8, and 10. Tim Drummond does bass on tracks 4 and 5. Ian Wallace plays the drums on track 5. Kevin McCormick plays the African drums on track 6. Jerry Hay does horn arrangements on track 8. Belinda Carlisle provides harmony vocals for track 3. Sam Moore provides harmony vocals for track 4. Martha Davis does chant voices on track 6 and harmony vocals on track 7. Patty Smith does chant voices on track 6 and harmony vocals on tracks 6, 7, 8, and 10. Michael O'Donohue, Carla Olson, J.D. Souther, and Wadi Wachtel provide chant voices on track 6. And Marie Pascal Elfman and Dominique Mancinelli are the French Girls Ensemble on track 9. And the album was produced by Don Henley, Danny Korchmar, Greg LaDania, and Mike Campbell. All right, now that I got that done, that was a lot of people. But again, I like to give everyone credit because everyone deserves credit for the album. I'll move into the track listing, though, now. So track 1 is The Boys of Summer. It was written by Don Henley and Mike Campbell. It was released as the lead single off of the album, and it peaked at number 5 in the U.S. and number 12 in the U.K. So Campbell originally wrote a demo for the song while experimenting with a Linn drum machine. He played the song for Tom Petty. However, Petty didn't think that it fit with the record that they were working on at the time. Producer Jimmy Iovine suggested that it be played for Henley, and they worked together to write the lyrics. In a 1987 interview, Henley said that the song was about aging and questioning the path. And in a separate interview, Henley explained where his Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac lyric came from, saying, quote, "I was driving down the San Diego freeway and got passed by a $21,000 Cadillac Seville, the status symbol of the right-wing, upper-middle-class American bourgeois, all the guys with the blue blazers with the crests and the gray pants. And there was this Grateful Dead Deadhead bumper sticker on it," end quote. Billboard magazine's review of the song called it, quote, "dance-oriented pop, swimming in synths and reverberating guitar," end quote. And Henley would win the 1986 Grammy Award for Best Male Rock Vocal Performance for this song. And the song also ranked number 416 on Rolling Stone magazine's list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Track 2 is You Can't Make Love. It was written by Henley and Danny Korchmar. Track 3 is Man with a Mission, which was written by Henley, Korchmar, and J.D. Souther. Track 4, You're Not Drinking Enough. It was written by Korchmar. It was then re-released in 1989 by country artist Earl Thomas Conley, and his version charted at number 26 on the Billboard Hot Country Single and Tracks chart. Track 5 is Not Enough Love in the World. It was written by Henley Korchmar and Ben Montench. It was released as the third single off the album, peaking at number 34 in the U.S. The song is rumored to be about Henley's relationship with Stevie Nicks, as the lyrics describe a rocky relationship. And Cashbox Magazine's review of the song reads, quote, "This mid-tempo and beat-heavy rocker is a perfect vehicle for the ex-Eagles' unique vocals, a distinctly R&B groove." And Cher would then cover the track in 1996. Track 6 is Building the Perfect Beast, which was written by Henley and Korchmar. Track 7 is All She Wants to Do Is Dance. It was written by Korchmar. It was released as the second single off of the album, peaking at number 9 in the U.S. About the song, Korchmar said, quote, "I had the groove and the music going. That record was made back when the technology had just started to really take over in music. I had one of the first Yamaha DX7s, which was a keyboard that was used a ton in the 80s, but we ended up luckily getting one of the first ones in the United States. It's a synthesizer keyboard, and I use it to get that sound that you hear the record starting with," end quote. The lyrics of the song critique the United States intervention in Central America during the Contra War. And John Leland of Spin Magazine wrote that the song, quote, "Womps from the git with punchy electronic drums and a mix that keeps one foot off the ground for a full 7.5 minutes, end quote. Track 8 is Sunset Grill. It was written by Henley, Korchmar, and Tench. It was released as the fourth single off the album, peaking at number 22 in the U.S. The title and lyrics of the song reference the Sunset Grill, which was a hamburger restaurant on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. Billboard Magazine's review of the song reads, quote, "The deliberate rock beat and dense synths build an effective mood of aimless discontent," end quote. And Cashbox Magazine's review of the song says, quote, "This melancholy and dynamic track is orchestrated beautifully, and Henley's vocals are right on. A slice of life look at a real hamburger stand on Sunset Boulevard. Sunset Grill is a moody rocker which is sure to find a wide audience," end quote. Track 9 is Driving With Your Eyes Closed, which was written by Henley, Korchmar, and Stan Lynch. And then track 10 is Land of the Living, which was written by Henley and Korchmar. That concludes this informational section of today's podcast. I will take a short little intermission, and when I come back, I'll give you guys my song rankings, my song opinions, and my album scores, so stay tuned for that. Alrighty, back after that short little intermission. So I'll go through my song rankings, song opinions, and album scores. If you're unfamiliar how I do this part of the section, essentially I just listen to the album from start to finish, and then I write notes as it goes through, and then when I'm done with the album, I will rank the songs from my least favorite to my favorite. So we'll start with number 10. At number 10, I have Building the Perfect Beast. So this song had a very spooky introduction and almost had like a bit of like a thriller vibe to it. And the thriller vibe mixed with some techno. The vocals on this song, in my opinion, they weren't too strong. I felt like this whole song, just in general, was a little bit too technology-driven for my liking. Henley's songs, though, are very interesting. I think that this one is about genetic modification, which is just an interesting topic to write a song about. I liked the hammer-to-metal sound effect that was on this one. This song does have really good instrumentals. I think this whole album had good, two-third instrumental breaks. I liked the two-third break on this one as well. The background vocals for this song, they are captivating as well. And I like the whisper vocals near the end of the song. And my favorite lyrics for this one were, "The secrets of eternity, we found the lock and turned the key. We're shaking up those building blocks, going deeper into that box." Yep. At number 9. I have Land of the Living. So, side 2, I was not a big fan of side 2. This, to me, was another song that had a bit of choppiness at the beginning. Another song that is filled with synthesizers. Like, I felt bad being so negative about these songs. And maybe I'm not as negative as I originally thought that I was. But, like, this whole side of the album has sounded the exact same. And to the point where that I almost forgot which songs sounded like which. Except for one song, which I'll get to later. This isn't, like, the strongest ending song on an album, in my opinion. And this song, quite frankly, had a kind of abrupt ending. I wasn't expecting that. My favorite lyrics for this one were, "We got to do what we can about all this pain and sorrow. but try to live just a little. We could all be gone tomorrow. When I look at you, girl, my heart rejoices. You taught me something. Considering the choices, I want to stay in the land of the living. At number 8, I have Sunset Grill. So this song, it is giving the percussion a little bit more time to shine at the introduction. I'll talk about that a little bit later as well. But then, like, Henley will overshadow his percussion and drums with synthesizers. What, again, like, Henley just finds really odd things to write a song about. All of the songs, as I mentioned earlier, all the songs on this side are starting to mesh together. The themes are different but similar. Henley's vocals on this song, though, they were pretty solid. And the instrumental for this song almost sounds like an organ setting on a synthesizer. It's pretty cool. There's a couple songs now that they've had jazz instruments on. It's an interesting touch, as well as more synthesizers. This song started to drag on, and it just kept going and going and going, and it was just like, please stop. My favorite lyrics for this one: you see a lot more meanness in the city. It's the kind that eats you up inside. Hard to come away with anything that feels like dignity. Hard to get home with any pride. At number 7, I have Driving With Your Eyes Closed. I really liked the guitar at the beginning of this song. This, I will say though, this is a very weak chorus. Don't get me wrong, I like Henley's songs and this album, but side 2 sounds way too similar, and there's just no freshness to it. Every song on this one has a synthesizer that's playing quick in the background, some guitar riffs, and lyrics about some random thing. This is also the second song on the album that Henley used the phrase Yankees, which was interesting. And my favorite lyrics were, "Ah, you little maniac, I'm crazy over you. Before the death of lovers and the punishment of pride, let's go scrape across the terrazzo, it's just too hot outside." At number 6, I have You're Not Drinking Enough. This song kind of had like a country twang to it, at least the introduction of the song did. I liked the tempo of this song, but Henley's vocals for this one just weren't working too well for me. They almost sounded like almost too nasally. It was very interesting. I like all of the extraneous instruments on this one, such as like the keyboards and the synthesizers. But Henley just doesn't have like the high quality belting vocals. Like, they're good, but he's not like a ballad singer in my opinion. But whoever the background singer was, they, I think, had really good belting vocals. My favorite lyrics for this one: "She passed on your passion and stepped on your pride. Turns out you ain't quite so tough, because you still want to hold her. You must not be drinking enough." At number 5, I have Not Enough Love in the World. So I listened to the first 4 songs. I really didn't know what I was going to see or hear on the last song for side 1. And you know, this one was really good, though. The drums for this one were a little bit more prominent in this song than some of the other songs. But I still think all of the other instruments are just overshadowing Henley's drums. Like, Phil Collins, in my opinion, the drummer, lead singer, his drums are noticeable. Henley's not so much. This song just has, like, a very classic feel to it. It's not a hit, but it's one that you can just kind of bop your head to, and that, like, I think, you know, you kind of will remember if you listen to it more than once. I don't know why, but I was expecting, like, a little rap in the middle of this song. The bridge kind of meets what I was thinking of, but I was expecting more of like an 80s rap, you know, like Blondie on Atomic. My favorite lyrics for this one: "I was either standing in your shadow or blocking your light. Though I kept trying, I could not make it right. For you, girl, there's just not enough love in this world." At number 4, I have You Can't Make Love. This was a nice slowed down track when you come off of track 1. So this is the second track. Nice and slowed down. I was expecting something funky with the drums, considering that's Henley's instrument. His vocals are a little different on this one, though, from track 1, and I will say he still sounds good, though. And I really like the harmonizing vocals on this song, and you know, I can definitely tell that it's Lindsey Buckingham. I feel like that would have been awkward, though, like him and Lindsey working together, considering that they're 2 exes of Stevie Nicks, but maybe, I guess, in the rock and roll world, considering Lindsey had to work with Stevie, I guess it's not that awkward. I like how Henley gives the instrumental some time. Like, I feel like some of the artists this season have, like, rushed their instrumental breaks. He doesn't try to shorten songs to make them radio hits. He lets them play out. My favorite lyrics for this one: you can buy her diamonds, you can go out in style, you can make a promise, you can walk down the aisle. At number three, I have Man with a Mission. This was a very fun introduction. It was a very fun tempo. The whole album in a whole, and I couldn't think of it until like right at the end, and I forgot to put it in a note. It reminds me of someone. So originally when I was listening to it, I was like, it kind of sounds like a knockoff of Elvis. The guitar on the album is really good. It kind of sounds like old school Chuck Berry, with this song reminding me of Johnny B. Goode. I think what this song and this album really reminded me of was David Bowie's Let's Dance. Just how like synthesizer-y pop it was. And I think they came out in like the same year, which would make a lot of sense. But that's, I think David Bowie's synthesizer-y pop is what this reminds me of. This was another song that had a really nice instrumental break. The instruments are nothing really special, but the timing is perfect. And my favorite lyrics were, I'm going to run a few red lights, grind a few gears, start a few fist fights, drink a few beers. Even though I'm trying every trick in the book, you give me drop dead looks. At number two, I have All She Wants to Do Is Dance. So the combination of the synthesizers on all of the songs are nice. I liked the one at the beginning of this song too, but I still wanted to hear some more like drums and percussion. Some more, you know, that was more noticeable. This song has solid lyrics. It has solid vocals. Henley's not trying to be someone that he's not. And there's just some really great background harmony vocals by the ladies at the end of or throughout this song. I'm pretty sure it's by ladies. I'm pretty sure Patti Smith is one of the vocalists on this one. I could be completely wrong, though. So far, Henley has hit on every two-third instrumental, in my opinion. And I think he hit on every two-third instrumental throughout this song, throughout this album. All of the lengths of the instrumentals were perfect. My favorite lyrics for this one: crazy people walking around with blood in their eyes, and all she wants to do is dance, dance. Wild-eyed pistol wavers who ain't afraid to die, and all she wants to do is dance. And then, at number one, no surprise, The Boys of Summer. I love how this song starts with, like, just the soft percussion, and then there's, like, a really soft little guitar twang. The whole song builds up really, really, really well. A really good introduction. Such a solid introduction song. It's going to be in the running at the season 6 finale for best intro song. Really solid way to start now. Henley's vocals on this one are very clean too. Like, they're not necessarily like rock, quote unquote rock vocals, but they still sound like really good. They fit this song really well. The underlying drums are, I think, in this one are noticeable. I'm wondering, like, I don't know my drum stuff, but I'm like, is that a hi-hat? I don't know. It really, you know, the drums really come through during the two-third instrumental, which has a really good synthesizer. This might be the only song that I think I enjoyed the drums, which might be why it's my number one. There's nothing wow factor in the riff in the instrumental, but it's the music that counts. This song is, like I said, so simple instrumentally, but it's one of my favorite to play and just listen to, and that end instrumental is just so good. My favorite lyrics for this one: I never will forget those nights. I wonder if it was a dream. Remember how you made me crazy. Remember how I made you scream. So that is my song rankings, my song opinions. Let me get into my album score. So what I do for my album score is, the first part is I rank it out of 10 on lyrics, vocals, and instrumentals. That part of the score will get multiplied by 2 to be my Dorney score. But lyrically, I gave this one an 8 out of 10. So I pointed to the ones that stood out to me lyrically were The Boys of Summer, You're Not Drinking Enough, and All She Wants to Do Is Dance. Vocally, I gave this one a 7.5 out of 10. Pointing to The Boys of Summer, You Can't Make Love, and Sunset Grill. And then instrumentally, I gave this one an 8 out of 10, pointing to Man with a Mission, Not Enough Love in the World, and Building the Perfect Beast. So those scores will get multiplied by 2 when we get into the score out of 100. That's the Dorney score. I then give it a score out of 10 based off of its U.S. chart position and its U.K. chart position. So in the U.S., it was a number 13, so that's 6 points. In the UK, it was a number 14, but that is also 6 points. And then I give it a score out of 10 based off of where its singles chart. So It had a number 5, which is worth 4 in the U.S. A number 5 in the U.S., which is worth 4 points. A number 9 in the U.S., which is worth 3 points. A number 22, which is 1. And a 34, which is 1. Which added all up, and that equals 9 out of 10 points. It can only max out at 10 points, so even if it would have been, like, above, you know, it still only can max out at 10. So that got 9 out of 10 for singles. And then I give it a score for album cover. I feel like I've had this is the sixth album that I've done a podcast on this season, and 1, 2, 3, 4 of them have just been the people in the most simple pose. So 7.5 out of 10 again, and you know, for album cover. Total score is a 75.5 out of 100, which is a solid score. It's probably a middle of the road average. 75.5 out of 100 is probably middle of the road. We'll see where that compares to at the season 6 finale. But that's it. That's all I got for this podcast. I want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you're not already, go follow me on Instagram at Dorney's Vinyl. That is where, you know, coming up here in a couple months, that'll be the battlegrounds for season 7 voting and what albums are going to have this podcast in season 7. After that, if you're also interested in expanding your 33's 45 record collection, I have those used ones for sale on my eBay store, which is also Dorney's Vinyl. Just search it up, no punctuation, no spaces, and that is, you can buy some records off of that for me. I'd appreciate that. And then, other than that, next week's podcast is going to be an EP extra podcast, tidbit of information on this date, which I look at the Billboard 200 and Billboard Hot 100 from it'll be November 20th, 1982. So I'll go through the top 10 albums and top 10 singles from that day. That's a fun one. That's all I got. I will talk to you guys all next week.